the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Swamsa, and forms that have limited potencies, the living entities, are called Divinamsha. Ekai Swarupa Donhe Binamatra Koi Adyakaya Vyuha Krishna Lilara Sanhai. They are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Purport. Balaram is a Swamsa expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. Om Ajnantimidandasya Jnananjana Chadakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svajam Rupa Kadam Mayam Tadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vidham Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Vipasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I am very grateful to be amongst all of you on this very holy day, the appearance of Sri Balaram. We are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, with purports of Srila Prabhupada, is explaining the supreme identity of Balaramji. And in doing so, is giving us a glimpse into how precious devotional service is. Fools want to be masters, but those who are intelligent, they understand there is no more precious treasure than service to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord himself takes the greatest pleasure in service. Although he is the master of all masters. In the spiritual world, Krishna is simply serving everyone by giving them the opportunity to taste the highest nectar of love of God. And his first expansion, Balaram, who is explained here, is none different than Krishna. In one place, Prabhupada says the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna has complexion like a monsoon cloud, and Balaram has a white complexion like a spring cloud. Otherwise, they are none different. Balaram is Swamsa, as explained here. He possesses all six opulences in full. But in Balaram, he is the original servitor of Godhead. He's the supreme personality of Godhead, whose only will is to serve Krishna and please Krishna. And to accommodate Krishna's loving relationships with his devotees. In the spiritual world, Balaram expands himself as Goloka Vrindavan, the field by which all the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees are. He expands himself as Krishna's garland, Krishna's jewels, Krishna's shoes, Krishna's bed, Krishna's clothes. And he's the original Shankarshan. Here it describes Balaram expands himself especially in five ways. Maha Shankarshan. The original expansions are Shankarsham, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, and Pradyumna. And in this way, from him, the whole creation is taking place as a service to Krishna, as a service to all living beings. He expands himself as Karunodakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, for the purpose of manifesting the entire cosmic manifestation in all the universes. Then Balaram expands himself as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, to be the Lord of each and every particular universe. And then again he expands himself as Chirodakshaya Vishnu, to be the Lord within every living entity's heart. Every living entity he's living within the core of their hearts. Hare Krishna. And he's watching. And he's waiting. It is said, by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. Balaram is the original Guru. He's the original person teaching us how to serve Krishna. And from in the heart, he's directing us to his own expansion. His own expansion as Paramatma is directing us to his own expansion as the spiritual master, because it is his tattva that empowers the spiritual masters. And then as Shesha, he's just expanding himself in every possible way in the spiritual and material worlds to facilitate Krishna. Harivo. That is Balaram. So enthusiastic to serve. And in the spiritual world of Vrindavan, Balaram is so enthusiastic. He serves Krishna in all the five rasas. Shantaras, he's Krishna's bed, he's Krishna's clothes, he's Krishna's shoes. And then in Dasyaras, he's always eager to render service to Krishna. Sometimes he fans Krishna, sometimes he massages Krishna. In Sakyaras, when Krishna and Balaram are out herding the cows, they're most intimate friends. Best of friends. Killing demons together, eating prasad together, inspiring the cowherd boys together, making the cows happy together. Vatsalya Ras, because he's Krishna's elder brother, he also at times manifests parental affection to Krishna. Becomes very worried about Krishna in certain situations. But at other times, just like when Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, yes? All the Brijavasis come running to the lake where Kaliya had Krishna entrapped within his coils. And Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, all gopis and gopis, they saw their little Krishna wrapped up by this monstrous, demoniac snake. Can you imagine seeing your child in Kaliya's grips? They were fainting, falling unconscious. They all wanted to just jump in the water, but it was poison water. And Balaram stopped them all. And he laughed. He laughed. He said, I'm in my form of Sheshanaga. He never plays with me like this. What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear of this insignificant, mundane little water snake? My brother is Krishna. There is no fear. So yes, sometimes he was in Vatsalya Ras on behalf of Yashoda and Nanda, taking care of Krishna. And for Madhurya Ras, he expands himself as Ananga Manjari, Srimati Radharani's younger sister, which is very interesting. He's Krishna's older brother, taking a somewhat superior position to Krishna to serve him. But for Srimati Radharani, he takes a very subordinate position as her younger sister. So this is Balaram's enthusiasm to serve. He's serving Krishna in every way. And leading all the devotees in every way. And whenever he incarnates with the Lord, he's always in this mood of servitude. As Lord Narayan, he is his bed, the Ananta Shesha. And when the Lord appeared as Ramchandra, Balaram came as Lakshman, his younger brother. So attentive to serve his brother in every possible way. Hare Krishna. Lakshman was not exiled to the forest for 14 years. Only Ram was. But there wasn't even a thought in Lakshman's mind to leave the beautiful, opulent city of Ayodhya with all facilities, to wear tree bark, eat only the roots in the ground, be subjected to monstrous rakshasas, no residence. They didn't sleep in any indoors for 14 years. They were subjected to rains and snows and heat and cold. No air conditioners, no heaters. Indian summers, forest winters. But Lakshman, He told Ram, I am with you. From the time of my birth, I have been serving you, and I will not give up that service under any condition. This is service. Speaking about service, I'd like to divert and then come back, with your permission. The Revolutionary War of America. Yes? America was getting smashed by the British soldiers. America had no army, just militia. That means just a bunch of farmers getting together with whatever little guns or hatchets or hose, whatever they had to fight. And here comes these tens and thousands of trained British soldiers with all the best weapons, marching, sophisticated forms. And they were destroying. So Benjamin Franklin went to France because the only hope is France to help, because France aided England. That's the way politics are. So they promised to ship thousands of their trained soldiers and a lot of money and a lot of weapons. But in the meanwhile, things were really getting bad. But then someone named Thomas Paine, he wrote a pamphlet called The American Crisis. And that actually inspired so much courage in the American infantry. Gradually they were forming an army, and George Washington used to read this regularly to his people, to his soldiers, to get them enthusiastic to fight. And he actually changed the whole direction of the war. They became just so enthusiastic. He begins this pamphlet, "These are the times that try men's souls." In this crisis we are facing now, it is no time for complacency. He said, anyone who is a sunshine politician or a summertime fair weather soldier is going to shrink from their duty at the time of crisis and pain. Hare Krishna. We must serve our nation under any situation with total determination. Inspiring speech. Jesus said the same thing. Either be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. Hare Krishna. And Krishna says the same thing. Vyabhashayat makabudhir ekeha kurunangana bahushaka hinantascha budhayo vyabhashayanam. He says those who are on this path, doesn't mean the path that we create, it means Krishna's path. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and they are determined. Dhritavrata. Their aim is one. The intelligence of those who is irresolute is many-branched. Srila Prabhupada puts great emphasis on this principle of determination. I remember one time Prabhupada was asked, what if we don't have such determination? Prabhupada's answer, then you are an animal. That's what differentiates between a human being and an animal, is determination. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Human life is meant for tapasya. And what is tapasya about? Tapasya means determination to do the right thing no matter what. That is the definition of integrity in one sense. Whether it's hot or cold, matra sparashastukonte ya sitos na sukadukada agama payanolyakyas tamstatiksha swapara. the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, heat, cold, success, failure, health, disease, all these dualities are coming. One must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. And Prabhupada says, what does it mean to not be disturbed? It doesn't mean your body doesn't have pain. It doesn't mean your mind is not in anxiety. Doesn't even mean you don't cry. What it means is your determination to hold sacred the ideals in your life, in your service to the Lord, that does not change. So this is the path of perfection, determination. Eventually, the French came and we won the war, Hare Krishna. And of course, we took all the credit. We deserved a lot of it. If we identify ourselves as Americans. So Lakshman, he not only volunteered, there was just not even a question. I'm going with you, Ram. And Sita, she said, I'm going. I took a vow at the time of my marriage. My father, when he gave me to you in marriage, he promised in all circumstances I will be at your side. You cannot make my father a liar. I'm going with you. Hare Krishna. That's selfless love. That was Lakshman. And Lakshman, his life was simply to facilitate the happiness of Sitaram. Wherever they would stop, he would make a bed of leaves for them. Sometimes he would make a little hut by taking branches and trees and assembling them. He would go out and collect the herbs and the roots and the fruits to feed them. And while they were sleeping, he would stay up all night, wherever, just guarding them with his bow and arrow to make sure that no dangers came upon them. Always serving. And in Krishna's Leela, he appeared in Gokul Mahavan. The story of Balaram's appearance is very beautifully described by Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therein we find on the day of Krishna, of Vasudeva and Devaki's marriage, that divine voice spoke to Kamsa that the eighth child of your sister will kill you. You are such a fool. And Kamsa was such a apparently loving cousin brother. Before that voice came, he wanted to please his sister so much. Although he's a big kingly being, each of his arms were more powerful than 10,000 elephants. Can you imagine? We can't imagine. Have you ever seen one elephant? I've seen male elephants, not female elephants. Male elephants. I've seen at Guru Vayur, one elephant has wrapped his trunk around a tree and just uprooted it and threw it. Medieval. And this is Kali Yuga elephants. This is Dwapara Yuga. Could you imagine how powerful the elephants were in Dwapara Yuga? And each of Kamsa's arms had the power of 10,000 of such elephants. Hare Krishna. And he was very, very clever, very intelligent. But he took a very nice position. I will personally escort you by being driver. Just to show affection to his sister. But this is very symbolic. Material relationships are based on sense gratification. And if the sense gratification is disturbed, love can easily turn to hate. One time a policeman told me, when they're called to bank robberies or some kind of mafia situation of gangsters fighting, says, you know, that's a standard thing. But what they hate to do the most is when they're called into domestic violence between husbands and wives, because they don't know what they're going to do. At least, you know, with gangsters and bank robbers, you can predict what their consciousness, what their mentality is. But when husbands and wives fight, said they are, because that lust is, that because that love is transformed into some kind of wrath, you don't know what they're going to do. They're very unpredictable. It's very dangerous. So yes, when love, based on sense gratification, is interrupted, it can turn into the worst type of hate. Yes? Happens every day. When you invest your love in somebody, that person can hurt you more than anyone else in the creation. And you have the power to do the same to them. Hare Krishna. So there's a great responsibility. But spiritual love is unconditional, because it's not based on selfish sense gratification. Spiritual love is based on service. Therefore, it's absolutely predictable in that sense. Whatever happens. Ashlisya vapadaratam panashtumama darshana marmahatam karotama. My Lord, whether you trample on me, or whether you embrace me, whether you abandon me, you are my loving master birth after birth after birth. That is the love of the soul. But Kamsa, his so-called love was very much based on his own egoistic conceptions. So as soon as that voice came, he drew his sword to kill Devaki. Hare Krishna. Vasudev logically argued with him with philosophy and ultimately promised, I'll give you all my sons. Kill them if you want, but don't kill Devaki. She's your sister. So eventually he put them in prison. And six consecutive children, Kamsa slaughtered. Now Srila Prabhupada cites from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur what these children represented, these Sadgarbhas. It's very important. Kamsa represents fear of material existence. Devaki represents bhakti, the path of devotion. And the Sadgarbhas represent the six enemies that are within our hearts. Lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and madness or illusion. How are these six demons within us killed? By Kamsa. In the sense, when a devotee practicing bhakti has healthy fear of material existence, they take shelter of Krishna. They don't meddle with Maya. It's very important, especially for us. Srila Prabhupada said, the problem with you Western devotees is you do not have enough fear of Maya. Hare Krishna. We become too friendly and familiar with Maya. But there must be a healthy fear of Maya. That keeps us very strict. It keeps us chanting the holy name very attentively. No matter how much temptation will remain following the four regulative principles. We won't blaspheme devotees. We won't criticize devotees if we're afraid of Maya. Because that's the most one of the most prominent teachings of all the scriptures is the results of criticizing devotees. Prahlad, Ambarish, the Pandavas, Dhruva, Gopal Chapala, Gopal Chakravarti. All these stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the immense results of suffering and fall down that comes when we offend Vaishnavas. Why do we do it? Because we're not afraid of Maya. We're not afraid of the results. Why do we turn on our television? Just to chill out after a hard day of service. I remember once I was with a devotee and we did a hard day of service. We were out somewhere and we went back to a hotel and he turned on a television. I'm not going to mention names. And he said, I have to take the edge off the yajna. Why do we do these things? Prabhupada explained, because we're not really afraid of Maya. Kamsa represents fear of Maya, fill of fear of material energy. And in order to kill these demons, the devotee, in the form of Devaki, who represents devotion, Devaki was afraid of Kamsa. So we must be afraid of the Kamsa of material energy. And by doing so, we're very careful what we do, we're very careful what we say, and we very, very attentively take shelter of hearing about Krishna and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what happens when these six enemies, these anartas, are exterminated from our heart? Krishna manifests. After the six garbhas were killed, Baladev, the first expansion of Krishna, came to prepare Devaki's womb for Krishna's arrival. What a service attitude that is. He just went to make all nice preparations within her womb for the arrival of Krishna, his master. At that time, Krishna called for Yogamaya. And he said, I have already sent my original expansion, Balaram, into Devaki's womb. I want you to transfer him into his original mother, Rohini. Because in the spiritual world, Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. And then I want you to enter into the womb of Yashoda. Now our acharyas quote the Harivamsa to tell exactly how this happened. During the seventh, Rohini was pregnant from Vasudev. Because Vasudev had several wives. While Devaki was in prison with him, he sent his other wives to be under the shelter of his dearmost friend, Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was living then in Mahavan, on the bank of Yamuna. Rohini was 7 months pregnant. At midnight, she experienced what appeared to be a dream. And in that dream, Rohini had a miscarriage. Soon after this, she woke up and she found that it actually happened. She had a miscarriage. She was in tremendous anxiety. And then Yogamaya appeared to her and spoke that I am in the process of bringing another child into your womb. The child that is within Devaki's womb will be attracted to your womb. And then by Yogamaya's divine potency, she transferred Baladev from Devaki to Rohini. Hare Krishna. Soon after that, Krishna entered into the mind of Vasudev, from his mind into his heart. And just like the sun casts its rays upon the moon when it's rising in the eastern horizon, in the same way, Krishna was transferred from Vasudev's heart to Devaki's heart, and then into her womb. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, citing from the Shastras and the Acharyas, explains that Balaramji was born 15 days before Krishna. In Gokul Mahavan. Krishna was born simultaneously in Gokul Mahavan and Mathura. The original form in Vrindavan and his expansion in Mathura. And from that time, Krishna and Balaram were dearmost companions. Shukadeva Goswami tells how Yashoda and Rohini, with their little babies, their life, their soul, their everything was just the pleasure of their babies. In fact, the entire Vrindavan, all Brijavasis, their only pleasure in life became the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. So supremely attractive. As described, they loved them just like a mother and just like mothers. Sometimes the babies would be on their laps and they would look at them and make the babies smile, and they'd see little teeth like drops of milk growing in their mouths. And, oh, they were so happy. That thrilled them. They would talk with one another and the mothers would just count how many teeth. Look, Krishna has 3 teeth. Balaram has 4 teeth. And it was just so happy. And as they grew a little older, they started becoming mischievous. They would crawl around, and sometimes they would grab onto the tails of calves. And the little calves became so afraid that they would run away. And then the little boys would become so afraid. They held on for dear life. And the calves would drag them through the mud of Vrindavan. And the gopis would watch and laugh and laugh and laugh. And as soon as they started learning to walk, can you imagine the pleasure of Nanda, Yashoda, Rohini, and all the Vrindavan Basis when Krishna and Balaram took their first step? Now, those of you who are mothers and fathers, do you remember when your child took the first step, how happy you were? Multiply that unlimitedly by trillions of quadrillions of times, and we can understand the happiness when Balaram and Krishna took their first steps. And a few steps later, they began their pastimes of stealing butter. Very sweet pastimes. The gopis would complain to Yashoda about all the pranks that Krishna would do with Balaram to steal butter. And Yashoda said, "Then I will keep him home." They said, No. The only reason we make our butter is with the hope is Krishna and Balaram will come to steal it. We're only complaining just to increase the happiness of this joyous occasion. And when they were a little older, Nanda Maharaj entrusted Krishna Balaram with taking care of the calves. Hare Krishna. They would play so many games together. It is described about Lord Chaitanya that he was just like the mood of Krishna when he was young. So many games. It is said that every game that has ever been invented and beyond, they would play those games. There was no limitation how they could play games. Just like Krishna could put an elephant through the eye of a needle, he could play a million games a second with his friends. How is that possible? It's not possible. That's why Krishna does it, because it's not possible. Because he is absolute. How does Krishna put billions of people on the island of Dwarka? Hare Krishna. There was more people on Dwarka than the population of the world today. And there was no traffic jams. There was no high rises. There's just lawns and parks and beautiful mansions. Hare Krishna. If you want to try to understand Krishna according to mundane possibilities and impossibilities, there's no possibility. That's why sometimes Prabhupada would really, really push us to the end. Yes? Talking about where is the sun, where is the moon, and where... Why did he say that stuff? Prabhupada said, it really doesn't matter which is farther. The problems of life is not sun and moon, farther, closer. The problems of life is birth, old age, disease, and death. And the only way you can transcend birth, old age, disease, and death is you have to have faith in Krishna beyond the faith of your imperfect senses or other people's imperfect senses. Krishna can do anything. It's beyond logic. The highest logical conclusion that a human being can come to is to understand that Krishna is beyond logic and just to have faith that he can do anything and love him when he does it. That's the most scientific conclusion that a person could come to. So they would play so many beautiful games. And Krishna and Balaram, sometimes they would play their flutes. And all the cowherd boys would gather around them in a circle and just cheer them on. And they would just be performing for the other gopas. And Krishna Balaram would dance for the gopas. Sometimes they'd imitate peacocks and other animals just to make the gopas laugh. Their whole life was only to give pleasure to the devotees. But sometimes demons would come to Vrindavan. In fact, according to our acharyas, they came every day, usually just before lunch. Because, you know, then the cowherd boys would really work up an appetite seeing Krishna fighting these demons. And then they had more appetite to
to enjoy their prasad together on the bank of Yamuna or in the pasture fields. So one such asura was Pralamba, who Srimad Bhagavatam says was the greatest of all the demons. He was so devious. By his mystic powers, he took the form of a cowherd boy. One of the cowherd boys didn't come to herd the cows that day. Perhaps it was his birthday and his mother kept him home to give charity to the Brahmins, or perhaps he wasn't feeling well. So Pralamba was so expert, he took the form of a cowherd boy. Just so innocent and sweet and beautiful. And he just appeared to love Krishna, just and Balaram, just like all the rest of them. He was playing with them. But in his heart of hearts, his only motive was to kill Balaram, Hare Krishna. So Krishna Balaram decided to have a game where they would fight in duels. And the loser would have to carry the winner on his shoulders. Transcendental competition. Transcendental competition is very good as long as there's no envy. Then it's no longer transcendental. Then it becomes just mundane. So they were playing. And Balaram was the captain of one team and Krishna was the captain of the other team, and Balaram's team was victorious. So Krishna carried Sridhama on his shoulders. And Balaram carried... Pralambasura. He was on Krishna's team. Because he wanted to kill Balaram first, because he was a little afraid of Krishna. So Pralambasura carried Balaram on his shoulders. And the idea is you just run around a little just to show that this other person won. But Pralambasura was a serious demon. He just ran away into the forest, farther and farther and farther and farther. He kept running, and Balaram was thinking, where is my friend taking me? And then Balaram understood that this is a demon. He's disguised as my friend. So he became heavy like a mountain. Hare Krishna. And Pralamba was feeling such a weight, he could no longer contain his disguise. He just grew into this gigantic mountain that reached the sky and the clouds. He had gold and jeweled ornaments on, like a big mountain, and his eyes were so angry they were like red coals, big fangs, red hair like flames. It said it looked like a gigantic black cloud with Balaram, who represented the moon, on his shoulder. And Balaram was thinking, how is this that my friend has changed in every way? Then with his little fist, he smashed Pralamba. And Pralamba vomited blood. His eyes rolled and he fell to the ground, creating an earthquake. Hare Krishna. Shri Balaram ki jai. And all the gopas came running to embrace Balaram and check out his body to make sure he was not injured.
and said that they considered it was like Balaram had just come back from death itself. And Krishna congratulated him, and the demigod showered flowers from the heavenly worlds. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains how the different asuras of Vrindavan represent obstacles in the path of pure devotional service. Now, why is Pralambasura considered the greatest of the demons? Do you know what he represents? Lusty inclinations. Hare Krishna. Inclination towards sex and subtle sex. The craving for profit, adoration, and distinction. Whenever these influences come into your heart, you should recognize Pralambasura has come. And these particular anartas are very much like Pralambasura, because they disguise themselves as our friends with the promise of happiness, with the promise of relief. And this is how Maya whispers to us. If you have a position, if you have prestige, if people honor and respect you, you will be happy. And then we motivate ourselves in order to get those things. What to speak of illicit sex? There's such a promise of happiness, of pleasure. It's a demon in disguise. It's going to only kill the presence of Guru and Krishna in your heart. So yes, in warfare, spies are very important. Mahabharata, Bhishma told us to Yudhisthira while he was laying in the bed of arrows in Kurukshetra. He was telling him how he has to run his kingdom to be successful. And one of the things he told was, it's very important to have good spies in your enemy's camp. Hare Krishna. Now, in military, if you capture a soldier, there are certain rules where you have to actually treat them with a certain amount of respect. Yes? But in almost any country, if you capture a spy, they have to die. In military, where they're shooting at you, you capture them, you're not allowed to kill them. You're not even supposed to torture them. You just have to keep them somewhere. But a spy, you kill. Why is that? Because spies are so deadly. They know just what your secrets are. They know exactly where you're vulnerable, and they tell your enemy, Arivo. One good spy is more valuable than thousands of strong soldiers with weapons, because they give you the right intelligence of how to defeat. So lust, gross and subtle, desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. They are disguised like spies. A spy appears to be your friend. He appears to be working for you, but he's actually working for someone else. This is the way we have to see. The desire for prestige, very deadly. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the three reasons of fall down for a devotee, which are most prominent. Kama, Kanaka, Pratishtha. Desire to accumulate wealth. Desire to enjoy the opposite sex, or sometimes the same sex, or whatever's in between, depending on a person's nature. Desire for sex life, and pratishtha, prestige. These three things are sure to corrupt our devotional service if we give into it. Now, as far as pratishtha goes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to make it very clear, with very powerful statement, how we should see the desire for adoration and distinction. He said, it is as abominable as the dung of a boar. Hare Krishna. Now, of all types of stool, boar stool is really the worst. Why? Because, you know, human stool is, you know, regenerated like prasad or something for a devotee. I was recently in Vrindavan and I slipped and fell in a sewage ditch. And I was all black. And it was real thick. And our philosophy is to try to see the positive in everything. To be honest with you, I didn't just, it wasn't just my leg. I fell into it full. My entire body, head to toe, was just covered in my clothes were saturated. And I was walking down the street thinking. And then I became very, very happy. I was thinking, what is this sewage? This is Mahaprasad of all the deities of Vrindavan recycled through the bodies of Brijavasis. I'm sorry about that. This is the levels of my realization. But what is a boar's dung? A boar eats stool. It's recycled stool to a boar. Abominable. I've tested it too. Because, you know, I like to try to understand with some experience what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying. So I smelled once the boar of a boar stool. No more details, no more details. But take my word for it. It's abominable. That is how we should see our desire for prestige. But even in spiritual societies, people are so driven by this desire for prestige. I'm better than you. We learn the scriptures. If we learn the scriptures thinking I'm the most fallen and let me just learn this so I could serve my Gurudev and serve the Vaishnavas, then learning scripture is very, very good. But sometimes we become more learned than others and we think I'm better than others. I'm more advanced than you. How many slokas do you know? How many philosophies can you defeat? How many people can you leave spellbound when you give a lecture? It's wonderful if you could do all that stuff, providing it's in the mood of servant of the servant. But if you start thinking, I'm better than others, and you start longing for prestige when you do it, and you start expecting and demanding respect, what are you doing? You're simply tasting the dung of an abominable boar. Hare Krishna. According to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru. But he was graphic because it's such a deep burning in people's hearts. Now the desire to feel valued, the desire to feel appreciated, it's just natural within everybody. But when we want honor, respect, and prestige, it's a very dangerous form of sense gratification. And it's a major cause of fall down. It is Pralambasura, disguising himself. I'll make you so happy. Just get this position. Get this prestige. Get this honor. Get this sex life. Acquire and acquire, acquire more materialistic things. Disguised as your friend, this voice. But know, that voice is only out to destroy your bhakti, Hare Krishna. And that is a fact. That is Maya's whisper. That is Pralambasura's whisper, promising you everything, disguised as your best friend. But the only motivation of all these influences is to corrupt your life, entangle you in material bondage, and destroy your bhakti. Hare Krishna. And how to overcome this? Through a service attitude. And through taking shelter of the holy names. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare.
Shri Balaramji ki jai. Should I continue? Yes.
Becomes the desire for honor, or are they distinct and they never cross?
Well, the devotee, when we're serving other Vaishnavas or Guru, we want to please them. That's the motivation of service, is to please the object of our service. So when we're appreciated, we should feel that's the love of that devotee. It shouldn't make us proud. It should make us humble. It's the love of that devotee appreciating me. Appreciating my humble efforts. But the desire for prestige is when we are motivated, because prestige gives power. Prestige gives one the illusion that I'm better than someone else. Yes? That is very dangerous. So there is a difference between receiving appreciation and appreciating that, and wanting to be appreciated in that sense, and wanting profit, adoration, and distinction. Does that answer your question? Yes, Prabhu. Huh? Same thing, prophet, Pralambasura. Promising if you get this more, 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 you will be happy. Yes. If we want to enjoy the prophets for ourselves, then it drains us of our propensity to serve and to love Radha and Krishna. Krishna's the supreme proprietor. We could work very, very hard for profits. That's not wrong. But when we're attached to the fruits of our work for our own purpose, for our own distinction, or for our own sensory enjoyment, that is a great obstacle on the path of bhakti. But if we're working hard and we're using our profits for the welfare of others and for the service of God, that's devotional service. Yes.
Would you say profit adoration distinction is synonymous with pride, or the cause of pride, or is pride the cause of profit adoration distinction desire? Or would they be synonymous?
I guess it depends on the situation, but certainly profit adoration and distinction has the capacity to inflame our false pride, intoxicate us with false pride. Oftentimes it's the desire, it's our pride that strives for these things. Yes? Profit adoration and distinction. In which case profit adoration and distinction could be a product of our false pride. But in other cases, sometimes we're doing devotional service as a selflessly. And as a product of that devotional service, we start getting profit and adoration and distinction. Yes? We didn't do it out of pride. We did it because we just want to serve. Yes? You're just a humble devotee. And you start as a bhakta or a bhaktin, and soon you're the head pujari, or soon you're the biggest collector, or soon you're such a great preacher with all kinds of followers. Rivo. So it started very selflessly, but as soon as there's profit adoration distinction, we have to be so very careful, because it can corrupt us. The very results of our devotional service can create pride in us. When the leper Vasudev, who had living worms eating upon his body, there's a lot of graphic details in Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and made him beautiful and healthy and youthful. Vasudev had one fear, that because I have gotten such mercy from you, people are all going to know I was cured by the mercy of the Lord. I may become proud. And if I become proud, my bhakti is ruined. He was really worried. He was not in anxiety when he had leprosy. He was in anxiety when he got cured from leprosy. Because it's hard to be proud when you're a leper. Nobody, you're exiled from society. Nobody wants to be with you. You're just seen as somebody reaping the sins of your past karma, especially in India. But now he's beautiful, he's handsome, and he's going to be seen as one who is a recipient of the Lord's mercy. He was thinking in his mind, what if I become proud? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, always chant Hare Krishna attentively and give Krishna to others, and you will never fall victim to pride. Hare Krishna. So yes, we can do some really nice selfless service, and all of a sudden we start getting empowered. Scary, isn't it? When you start getting empowered by Krishna. But that's what happens. This insignificant little mouse can become a lion. But if the lion starts thinking, it's my power, Puna Mushtika Bhava. Roaring like a lion, and so many people are coming to listen and offering obeisances, and then they're all kicking the little mouse away. not theoretical. We have seen it. So we have to be very careful. Does that answer your question? So, next demon. Oh, please.
I cannot see any hope of performing pure devotional service. What is the difference between pure devotional service and devotional service? Because somehow or another, it's always thought about pure devotional service, but if we are not pure, and we try to do devotional service, but it's not pure, then do we have a chance one day to obtain that?
Prabhupada answered that in many ways. One is very, very encouraging, and one is scary. Which one should I say? I'll start with the scary one, then end with the encouraging one. Prabhupada says that pure devotional service means not even the slightest trace of selfish motivation in our heart. Not even a molecular particle of desire for sense gratification or profit, adoration, distinction. No ego. Absolutely no ego. Our heart is simply for Krishna's pleasure. That is pure devotional service. Scary? But then Prabhupada also said, if your aspiration is to attain that, and you're sincerely following the process by which you can attain that, Prabhupada said, that is also pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada said, if one has the motivation for pure devotional service and is following the process sincerely and correctly, that person is also a pure devotee. It's like a mango. A mango unripe. But if it just stays on the tree long enough, it's going to be ripe. But if you take it off too soon, it's good for chutney, but it never becomes ripe. So one day, Krishna Balaram, herding the cows and calves and pastures of Braj, and his friends, Stoka Krishna, Sridhama, Subala, they approach and say, Krishna, Balaram, Krishna, who is defeater of all demons, and Balaram, who takes great pleasure in heroic feats of strength. Nearby, there is a forest of the name Talavan. In this forest, there are tall trees that are overladen with sweet fruits. These fruits are so delicious and they are so fragrant, we can smell them even from here. And we're longing to taste those fruits. But there is a demon in the form of an ass named Denuga, who is, with his hundreds and hundreds of associate ass demons, they have taken control of the Talavan forest. And they will not allow anyone to touch a single fruit. They're either eating it themselves or sending them to Kamsa. Hare Krishna. So please, go to Talavan and kill these demons so we can eat those fruits. So Krishna and Balaram entered into Talavan forest. And Balaram first went right up to one of those tall trees and shook it. And that tree, fruits were falling and falling to the ground. And hearing the noise, Denukasura was furious. He was so cruel that even the birds and the insects all evacuated that forest in fear of him. How dare this little cowherd boy come
What audacity. Charged. As he was charging, he wasn't just like one of these little asses that we see. He was a massive, massive ass. Like a mountain. He was galloping. The earth was shaking. And he was furious, foaming at the mouth. Ran right. Special effects. He turned his rear end to Balaram and kicked him with his back hooves. Poof, 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 poof. Right in Balaram's chest. Balaram, he just stood there. Unmoved. And this really angered Daniel Gosselaar. He just started. He went around and around in circles, came back to Balaram, boom, 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 kicked him in the chest. And Balaram, with one hand, grabbed both of his hooves and picked him up, whirled him around. He whirled him around so fast that Daniel Gosselaar died of dizziness, I think. Till he was dead. He just kept swooping him around, and then pew, and he threw him into the top of the highest of the tall trees. And the weight of Daniel made the tree fall, and it fell into another tree, and that fell into another tree. So many trees were falling, like a forest that was hit by a hurricane. And seeing that, the associates of Daniel Gosselaar were furious. They wanted revenge. They just started coming from all directions. Gigantic, massive asses. And Krishna was taking them, and Balaram was, and it's, oh, they were covering all the trees. And they were all different colors, too. It's actually a beautiful sight. Looks like different clouds in the trees. And the cowherd boy's so happy. But I was told they didn't even eat the fruits because they were the remnants of Daniel Gosselaar. But Krishna, Balaram, and cowherd boys enjoyed another pastime. They embraced them, and cowherd boys were calling out, "Well done, well done," and flowers were showering from the heavens. Would you like to know what obstacle in devotional service Daniel Gosselaar represents? Hare Krishna. Gross materialistic intelligence and ignorance of spiritual life, of the real needs of the soul. There's a beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he's praying how he spent so many years in his life pursuing scholarship. Yes? Remember that song? And then he says, and all I have to show for it is I'm just stupid like an ass. Hare Krishna. Carrying this burden. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami, he warns not to read too many books. Because the tendency is, we can become very proud, first of all, as we were saying before. But materialistic people, the more knowledge they have, the more it's like an ass carrying a big burden. Because with all that material knowledge, we have the tendency to become proud, and we have the tendency to become more skeptical, to accept the truth. That was the situation in Navadvipa at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
the simple people were accepting the Sankirtan movement. Who were the people who were blaspheming? Who were the people who were rejecting Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy? It was mostly the pundits, the great scholars, the great Brahmins, because they were so proud of what they knew. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to deliver them. So we should understand that this doubting the scriptures, doubting the words of the gurus of parampara on the basis of our mundane knowledge, our mundane conceptions, is like Dainukasura living in our heart. Great obstacle. Trying to kill the Lord within our heart. But Balaramji represents the original guru. When we accept, Prabhupada said, guru means heavy. And when he was asked, what does that mean? Prabhupada certainly was not heavy in a physical sense. He said, if you take everyone else's opinion and put it on a scale, and you put the word of guru, because the guru is not speaking his opinion. Guru is simply repeating the word of the parampara, which is the word of God. Put the guru's word on one side of the scale, and every philosopher, every scientist that ever lived within this cosmic manifestation on the other side of the scale, and the scale will go, That's what it means, guru is heavy. But this Dainukasura demon within us has this doubting propensity on the basis of so much mundane information that we have received in the past. No doubt, we could use all mundane information in the service of Krishna. But not to doubt Krishna. Krishna said the doubting soul is happy neither in this world or the next. We have to have a simple heart. If there is a God, God could reveal himself, and what God speaks is the truth. That simple faith. Ultimately, all the most profound and elaborate philosophy that is spoken by Jiva Goswami, by Sanatana Goswami, by all the great philosophers, it's really meant to convince us to just accept Krishna and chant his holy names and be happy. That's what the Brijavasi is about. The gopis are not sitting around debating, you know, where the jiva fell from. Gopis are churning butter. They have better things to do. They're churning butter. They're making garlands for Krishna. So all the great philosophy and all the great philosophers, we need this philosophy to bring us to the point of being like gopis. Just accepting Krishna, loving Krishna, wanting to please Krishna. I know if I just chant Hare Krishna, if I just pray to Krishna, everything will be attained. Srila Prabhupada said, this is Krishna consciousness, to know that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be attained. So that's the purpose of philosophy, to free us of all doubts. Sometimes like using a thorn to take other thorns out. But sometimes our tendency is, when we take one thorn to take another thorn out, we end up with two thorns, and then three thorns, and then four thorns. So we have to be very careful about this yukta vairagya. It has to be actually yukta vairagya. not artificial. So yes, this Deluka Sura is within all of us. This doubting mentality due to mundane knowledge, it's like a burden. Can I skip ahead many years in Balaram's Lila? Or should I end now? I'll tell one more story. This is a really scary story. Hare Krishna. The Pandavas and the Kurus. Pandavas' exile was finished. Yudhisthira, Krishna, they were approaching Duryodhana. Just give the Pandavas 5 villages. He would not give them the amount of land you can stick the point of a needle in. That was what an envious, proud person Duryodhana was. So the battle of Kurukshetra was inevitable. All attempts for peaceful settlement failed. Hare Krishna. Balaram did not want to take sides. Krishna accepted the Pandavas to be Arjuna's charioteer. But Balaram, he was so impartial. He was very inconceivable. He loved Duryodhana. He was Duryodhana's club teacher. And he loved the Pandavas. And he loved nobody more than Krishna. And Krishna was fighting for the Pandavas. So Balaram was neutral. And he knew that both sides were going to try to canvass him. So he just left. Hare Krishna. He went on pilgrimage. And he went to so many holy places. And eventually he came to Naimasharanya. At that time there was a conference going on where they were going to speak Harikatha and knowledge of the scriptures, the yajna. When Balaram came into the assembly, all the great sages of Naimasharanya stood up with folded hands to receive him. And they honored him in so many ways. But there was one person who did not stand up to receive him. Who was that? Romaharshan Sutta. Balaram saw that, and he calculated in his heart, what is this nonsense person? He's sitting in a higher position than all these great sages. That's all right, because he's speaking. But when a superior personality comes in the room, he just sits there. He makes no effort to offer respect or honor. The man is proud. Balaram became very angry. And please listen carefully to the words he spoke. Although he is a disciple of the divine sage Vyas, Romaharshan was a favorite disciple of Vyasadeva. Be careful. We may be proud because we're disciples of Prabhupada, but it's not being a disciple of Prabhupada that makes us great. It's the qualities that we possess. If we're demanding respect, I am Prabhupada's disciple. We think that's our qualification. Listen to Balaram as he continues. Being a disciple of Prabhupada means living by the qualities he expects of us. I will begin again. Because Prabhupada is representative of Vyasa. Although he is a disciple of the divine sage Srila Vyasadeva and has thoroughly learned many scriptures from him, including the law books of religious duties and epic histories and Puranas, all this study has not produced good qualities in him. And rather, his study of scripture is like an actor studying his part, for he is not self-controlled or humble, and vainly presumes himself a scholarly authority, though he has failed to conquer his own mind. Should I continue? The very purpose of my descent in this world is to kill such hypocrites who pretend to be religious. Indeed, they are most sinful rascals.
Hare Krishna.
Very powerful statement. Should be a mission statement in all of our hearts, actually. Then Balaram picked up a piece of kusha grass and touched it to the chest of Romaharshan. Romaharshan fell dead on the spot. Shri Balaram ji ki jai. Why do devotees say jai most when somebody dies? Very, very auspicious. So Romaharshan fell dead. And then all the sages were going, huh? What have you done? They said, we just gave benediction to him that he would live a long life. Because he was going to recite the scriptures for us. You've just counteracted all of the benedictions. And Romaharshan says, oh, if you like, then I'll bring him back to life. They said, no, you are the Supreme Lord. We don't want you to bring him back to life. So they settled. And after all, everything you're doing is perfect. Whatever you do, Balaram, is perfect. But for the sake of people in the future, you should set a good example. So Balaram said, according to the Shastra and tradition, the father lives through the son. So bring his son, and I will transfer those benedictions you gave to the father to the son. He will be greatly learned. He will speak the scriptures so perfectly, and he will have a long, healthy life. And that son became the narrator of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami. He was blessed by Balaramji. Harivo. Yes, this is Balaramji's enthusiasm to serve. As Ananta Shesha, he has all these mouths, thousands of mouths, and all of them are constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord and discussing the pastimes in the Lord. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, if Ananta Shesha, with all of his mouths, were to chant the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya for the entire time of the cosmic manifestation, he could not sufficiently explain what Lord Chaitanya does in one moment. That is our Lord. Hare Krishna. Ananta Shesha is constantly speaking the glories of the Lord. And he has come in this age of Kali as Nityananda Prabhu. Balaram in his form of Nityananda Prabhu is most merciful, most magnanimous. Balaramji was killing demons. But do you know what Nityananda Prabhu did with that plate of kusha grass that he killed Romaharshan with? He put it between his teeth and went to the doors of people even more puffed up than Romaharshan Sutta and begged them, please take the names of Krishna. Worship Gauranga. Chant the names of Gauranga. Speak about Gauranga. And if you do so, you will become my life and soul. Bhautran Das Thakur, in that beautiful song, Akroda Paramananda Nityananda Rai, he describes Nityananda as never angry. Balaram was angry. Nityananda Prabhu was never angry. He's going to the most atheistic, puffed up, sinful people with grass in his teeth, which is a symptom of totally submitting yourself in humility before someone. And he's begging them with folded hands, please take the message of Lord Chaitanya and chant Krishna's names, please. And if they refused, he would bow down, offer obeisances to him, get up weeping in compassion, please take the name of Krishna. And if they still refused, he would sometimes roll in the ground, in the dust, trying to melt their heart with his humility, until ultimately they would take the name of Krishna and receive love of God from him. Dina hina yata chilo hari namu tarilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. He approached Jagai Madhai. They were really proud. He asked them to take the name of Krishna. And the first time, they just screamed out, kill him! And they ran to kill him. Now, what would Balaram have done in that situation? We all know what he would have done. He would have called his plow or his club or just picked up any piece of kusha grass or just punched him with his fist like he did Vavita Gorilla. But what did Nityananda do? He ran away. Amazing. And Haridas Thakur, who has the powers of Lord Brahma, they're both running away from Jagai and Madhai and joking with each other as they're running. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he and Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur was telling Advaita Prabhu, do you know what it's like having Nityananda Prabhu as your traveling Sankirtan partner? Sometimes he goes up to a young girl and says, will you marry me? And then he runs away. The girl tells her father. The father comes out and beats me. Then he goes to somebody else's goshala and starts stealing their milk and drinking it. And then, then he hides and they come and chase me. And other times, he jumps and we look at the Ganges and we see swarms of man-eating crocodiles. And he just jumps right in on top of them and rides on them. And I'm just screaming, Nityananda, come back. And he's laughing, swimming amongst the crocodiles. And that's nothing. Today, he went up to Jagai and Madhai. Murderers, drunkards, meat eaters. Nobody will come near them. He went right to their face and told them to chant the names of Krishna. And they chased after us to kill us. Advaitacharya started laughing. He said, why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? It's the nature of one drunkard to want to associate with other drunkards. He is drunk with love of God. They are drunk with something else. And Advaitacharya said, you see, very soon, that Jagai and Madhai, because they have been the object of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, they will be dancing and chanting in ecstasy with us in Kirtan. Hare Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu comes back to Jagai and Madhai, some days before, begging them to take the name of Krishna. Madhai picks up pot, roars in anger, and smashes Nityananda Prabhu on the head, causing profuse blood to pour, cover his face, his clothes. Now, what would Balaram do in a situation like that? Nobody ever made Balaram bleed. They never had a chance. But Nityananda allowed them to do that. And then with folded hands, said, I don't mind that you have done this to me, but I do mind to see you in your suffering condition of forgetfulness of Krishna. Please take the name of Krishna. Madhai was about to beat him again, but Chakai, seeing the humility of Lord Nityananda, Chakai's heart changed and he stopped Madhai from doing it again. In the meanwhile, the news came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he stormed to the scene of the crime. And when he saw Nityananda Prabhu standing there covered with blood, he called Chakra and Sudarshan Chakra appeared. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes were like hot red coals in anger toward Madhai. And Madhai saw death personified before him. And Nityananda Prabhu prays to Lord Chaitanya, please do not harm him. Whatever credits I have from all of my devotional service, let that be given to forgive him. Give him your mercy. After all, we have come in this age not to kill demons, but to transform them into devotees. And there's not much difference between Jagai and Madhai and everybody else in this age of Kali. Please deliver them, my Lord. And then Nityananda said, because Lord Chaitanya was still very angry, he said, besides that, Jagai saved my life. Ah, that was just what he needed to say. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up Jagai and embraced him. You served Lord Nityananda. You protected Lord Nityananda. And Jagai immediately became an ecstatic Vaishnav. Love of God manifested within his heart. His tears were pouring from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling. He was chanting the names of Krishna. And meanwhile, Mahaprabhu's ready to kill Madhai. And Madhai says, my Lord, I want to be like that. Give me what Jagai has. After all, whatever he's ever done, I've done. And whatever I've done, he's done. We were partners in everything. That you have offended Nityananda Prabhu. Your only salvation is to fall at his feet. Madhai fell at Lord Nityananda's feet. Genuinely repentant. Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda, if you embrace him, then only will I accept him. Lord Nityananda embraced his own assailant with such love and forgave him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them the order, never engage in these sinful activities again. Associate with my devotees and chant the holy names of Krishna. And Jagai and Madhai, within a few minutes later, in the kirtan, the house of Mahaprabhu, they were dancing and chanting in ecstasy as Vaishnavas. This is the power of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So yes, Sri Balaram appears in this age of Kali as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And it is through Balaram Nityananda Prabhu that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glories are known throughout the world. It was he that sent Krishnadas Kaviraj to Vrindavan, where he attained the feet of Raghunath Das Goswami at Radhakund.
and compiles Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is he whose last disciple was fully instructed and empowered by him, Vrindavan Das Thakur, to reveal Lord Chaitanya's glories in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. It was he that blessed Raghunath Das Goswami, our Prayojana Guru, to attain the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. It was he that brought Rupan Sanatan Goswami in Ramakeli in to meet Lord Chaitanya. He introduced them. Yes, whatever we know about Lord Nityananda Prabhu's, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. That is Sri Balaram. And on this day of his appearance, we pray. Srila Prabhupada said we should pray to Lord Baladev for spiritual strength to overcome all obstacles. And he has appeared especially within the holy names. Srila Prabhupada has given us his mercy. All over the world, Prabhupada installed Gaur Nitai. In Gaudiya Math is Lord Chaitanya with Radha and Krishna. It is perfect, established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Prabhupada came to the West, he especially put emphasis on Lord Nityananda, Balaram. And even in Vrindavan, because it's an international center to call people from all over the world, he wanted to put that emphasis on Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, Krishna Balaram. Narottam Das Thakur, Nitai Padda Kamala, Koti Chandra Shushitala, Yechayaya Jagat Ajudai. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu are like tens and millions of full moons. They cool one from the scorching heat of material existence. And without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, as we find with Raghunath Das Goswami and so many others, without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot really understand the sweet, loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave us Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In Atlanta, he went into ecstasy and couldn't even chant the holy names any longer. Just meditating on the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Paramakaruna pahunduijana nitai gorachandra. Most merciful, most benevolent, like no one else. So on this day, we bow our heads to the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Balaram's merciful, compassionate representative that saved our lives, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Just a reminder, Prabhus.